Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. This is Prophecy Keepers interview for Saturday, January 15th, 2005, and our special honored guest is Red Elk once again. Grandfather Red Elk, how are you?
I'm fine, and I've got a question.
What's that?
That Booger County, is that true? And yep. Where does it originate from?
Well,
or are you afraid to say?
No, that's okay. Booker County is a group of counties in southern Missouri, and even, I mean, there's nothing really official about, you know, what counties there are. They're basically south-central part of the Ozarks, and they are Douglas County, the county to the south of Texas County, which I live in, is the most rural county in Missouri. They have the fewest roads. They don't even have a stoplight. There's no stoplights. There's very few police. It's always been the most mysterious area. Douglas County has always been the most mysterious area, and surrounded by several other counties. I don't think the whites really know what Booger County means, but I think to them, you know, it's the mysterious. It's where you see strange lights in the woods. I do.
Well, that's fine and good, but where did that one name derive from? That is one heck of a name.
Well, the Cherokee has something called a Booger Dance, and the Booger Mask.
And you're talking more or less about the Boogeyman.
No, it's Booger. It's.
I know. Maybe that's what they call it. But are you inferring Boogeyman?
It might be a combination of both. But the years ago, after the white people got here, you know, back at that time, you know, the kind of white people that were coming here very, very early on, you know, they were kind of the dregs of. You know, a lot of them were people that were sentenced to come over here, and or they were just not real well behaved. They didn't smell very good, and a lot of them didn't act very good, and so the origin of the Booger Dance was that the Booger Mask was put on in the I've been to a stomp dance, and basically they instruct the young men to do everything they can to show all kinds of bad behaviors. And
picking of the nose and so forth.
Yeah, it's to show. It's not just that. It's just it's a lesson to show Cherokee children how not to act.
Well, okay, thank you.
That's what a Booger Dance is. Uh-huh. And they'll do all kinds of things that are suggestive, and they'll use foul language. And it's the only time, you know, it was basically a way to introduce Cherokee children at stomp dances, which actually were a religious service, into saying, hey, this is the kind of behavior you're going to see. You know, it might seem funny right now, but this is not what we want, the kind of behavior we want you to do. But that
you've got an honorable background there.
Well, this area my teacher John Red Hat Duke was born here. The old settler Cherokees started coming over here in the late 1700s when it was still Louisiana, when it was still French territory before the Louisiana Purchase, and. Some came actually when it was controlled by Spain, but it was they were the most traditional Cherokees started filtering out of the Southwest or the Southeast rather about 1720 after the signing of the first treaty at Holston, and you know some of them went to Mexico, and then another group came over in the 1790s. The Chickamaugas came over. Then the Catua people, which was the kind of the religious general authority type people, came around that kind of time that time, and continued to come all through the removal era up until you know, the late 1830s, and the largest part of the tribe. The other two-thirds of the Cherokees that were still within the confines of the United States didn't come till the Trail of Tears, so they outnumbered 2-1 the people that came here before the Trail of Tears in late 1830s, and so they illegally deposed the chiefs that were already here and the traditional government that was already set up here, set up their shop, and started calling the political shots from that point forward. And they're the ones that are basically in control in Tahlequah today. But then, but there's a lot of you know there's still a lot of Cherokees that were outlawed by Chief John Ross, who was chief all through the 1830s, 40s, 50s, up to 1866. Yeah, Chief John Ross had himself abducted by the Union Army along with the Treasury and. It was really sad. Once they got out here in the late 1830s, it took Chief John Ross kind of diddle around for 16 years before he actually got the money that was owed, and we had people starving here. A lot of people really think a lot of Chief John Ross. He was a 1/8 Cherokee, and he had the full bloods that walked the Trail of Tears, you know, behind him politically. But the traditional people came out here first, and a lot of people don't realize this. As a result, a lot of the people that came out here before the Trail of Tears refused to sign the rolls at Tahlequah after the Trail of Tears, and they do not have Cherokee Nation citizenship. Among them, many full bloods, many Kituwa Society members. They don't want any recognition. They don't want the services. They don't like the people in Tahlequah. But it's a mixed bag. Times are changing, but they'll probably never be enrolled. There's a lot of full bloods that receive absolutely no help at all, or educational benefits, or anything. But the ones that stayed in Arkansas, and there was a Cherokee reservation in Arkansas from 1817 to 1838, and it's been scientifically proven by Dr. Tim Ross at the University of Arizona, who is a mixed blood Cherokee, that this was the original homeland of the Cherokees after they invaded from the South or Central America or wherever it was that they came from. You know, we know our wampum belts are tied with Mexican seaweed, and we know we came up from Mexico, but the Ozarks was the jumping off place after the second invasion, and we moved from here into the southeast, and then when the whites encroached, this is where we came back to, because it was a very stark, you know, it's a high plateau, over 1,000 feet. It's mountainous. These are the kind of areas that Cherokees stick to, where there's the game and the water and so forth. So it's the kind of the deepest, darkest area of North America. We came here to get away from white people. So that's.
Jimmy, isn't this the area where the giant real spirit snake is in one of the caves up there? Do you know anything about the spirit snake?
That's supposed to be in in North Carolina.
Oh, okay, down in your general area then.
Right, the serpent is in caves in North Carolina, but there are other sacred areas here. In this,
your area, if I know a little bit about it, is full of tunnels and caves.
Oh yeah, it's very, very a lot of caves. They believe the cave system in Missouri is connected with the cave system on the other side of the Mississippi River.
In short, it's
Mammoth cave system.
In the long run, all around the earth, it's protector of some of the things that. I know caves that are literally caved in and useless now. You can't go through them. But not just caves, but tunnels, really. More tunnels than caves.
Yeah.
They literally go into Europe and Russia and all that. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, you know, in
we're answering on Booger County, I think that maybe, I just... I'm polite enough to ask, and nobody else would, and certainly they wondered, so maybe that helped us all.
I've explained a little bit in the past, but I didn't go into quite that much detail. I guess there have been some that have been making...
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Blue Water. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some case cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And he allowed that tsunami and the earthquake to cause it to wipe out all of these people in one big go. And basically what he was doing is pulling out a rotten apple out of a bushel, saying, now, I have saved you from rotting quickly. Will you listen? Look what happens if you don't pay attention to me, if you don't honor me, and honor me not just through words, but honor me through your mind. And will the people listen? I doubt it. But nevertheless, he's trying all he can to get our attention. And those people, yes, they died in one fell swoop. But they're always in now. They won't have to go through it. They were going to die anyway. You know, but he took them as a rotten apple, as the great gardener he is. And then, as any good gardener, he puts it in the compost heap, and the apple continues rotting, and then he takes the seed, and he can work with those seeds and make something all over again, perfect, again. And so these souls, excuse me, pardon me, but all these souls that have taken, they're safe. He does not want to lose one of his children. On the true day of judgment, those who are living and have lived their lives strictly for notice, power, greed, whatever, total self, those are the ones that have denied him completely. And they're going to be gone. But not dead, but gone. And that is the true so-called hell. But it's not until that day. Meanwhile, these people are up there. Look, many of these people, they don't practice the so-called Christian religion. But they do practice trying to get to God in their cultural way. Many of them do. So, you know, God knows his name and he knows their heart. So he's got them up there. So don't worry about it. And don't think this is the wrath of God. This is the love of God showing the rest of the apples. Look what happened here. It can happen and will happen in various ways with you if you don't get yourself right in me. And the word sin means disobedience to God. The word repent means turn away. So you add turn away from sin, and it equals turn away from disobeying God. Thoughts are real. For real. If you don't believe it, you and I are both using telephones, you and I, my brother. And they didn't exist 150 years ago or so. But somebody thought that there might be a better way of getting in contact than a racing horse with a young man with saddlebags to a mammal. And brought this into existence. Thoughts are real. They can become real. Cars are thoughts originally. Clothes are thoughts originally. Thoughts are real. And whatever you think, I'm talking to all the listeners, including myself, hear me. Whatever we think, maybe that would be better to say. if we're mad at somebody, it's a real anger, and it's a disobedience to the Creator, who is love. So we've got to watch even our thoughts, as well as our actions and deeds. And thoughts are real, and there are so-called churches and groups of people, atheists and non-atheists alike, who feel that if they are good and put on a happy face and go through life, tra-la-la, that if there is such a thing as God, they got it made. But that's not true. God knows their hearts. He knows that they're trying to con him. Believe me, he knows. So be careful of what you think. Be careful of what you say. Be careful of how you say it.
Right. Well, I know you were telling me that the situation with your foot sure got your attention, because in your great vision years ago, you were shown
two crippled feet. So I got one more to go.
So what I guess Gosoff was saying in the last it was Winfrey or somebody was saying this. You know, prophecy is one thing. Prediction is more seeing what's kind of obvious that's coming down the road, you know. What do you think we're looking at here in the next few years?
In this year itself?
The next year, two, three.
Being I'm never given time, but I'm given events, I think 05 will have a lot of surprises, but like the tsunami, and more earthquakes and volcanoes and some other things. But generally, this is my own opinion. Understand, it is my opinion, not what I know, but my opinion. That doesn't mean I know it. It just means this is what I think. And I think 05, you better enjoy it while you got it, as bad as it is, because from there on in, hang on to your hats even tighter than you are now. Things are not going to be good. I was shown here about a week and a half ago now something that I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you know, I thought my imagination, in the inner hiokas, I am a master at imaging. So my imagination is extremely high tuned. And so I was laying here in bed just thinking on things of the Creator. It's very early in the morning, but I'd just gotten done with my prayer. So it was certainly beyond 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. And I just let my imagination roll. And suddenly I realized, my gosh, where is this coming from? And surely I could not, or even would not want to imagine what I was imagining. So why am I imagining it? And this has happened very rarely in my life. I'm 62. But it has happened where my imagination is like a toggle switch that goes into something that is correspondent. It's like a toggle switch. And when I get just so far in my imagining, the toggle switch is switched. It's flipped up or whatever. And it rolled on with my imagination, but suddenly I realize this has got to be from the Creator. It's not anything that I even dream of imagining.
Mm-hmm.
And this was so scary that no more of this yet. And yet it just kept rolling and rolling. And finally when it was done. And I said, oh, wow. You know, so I better check and find out if this is vision or whatnot. And I started praying about that. Then about 4 or 5 days later, I got a letter from a lady, a Christian woman, who, not knowing of what I'd seen, was mentioning the things that, basically, the things that I had seen, but was in the Scripture. And, you know, kind of throwing Scripture in, which is my safety net. This is the way I check. And I thought, oh, gee, you're in trouble. On my 69 days, it had passed. Now, that was a pass using juices and vitamins. It did not mean I just, it didn't mean that I just starved myself to death. Believe me, I used vitamins and juices. So, therefore, I lived through it. But that was so bad in that 3 days revision that I've told your listeners before, I bawled and I begged God never to show it to me again, and dang if he didn't show it to me. 3 times total, and it's terrible. But now I'm seeing this new thing about a week and a half ago.
Really?
Above and beyond what I'd been showing, and I thought, oh man, this is terrible. This is worse than I could even imagine. And what it was certain sections of our mother were standing still while the rest collapsed, imploded all around it. Certain sections of land masses stayed by all around the edges of it. It was like America became much smaller. And anyway, it imploded. Literally, what happened was that the next layer down, we're on the top of number 6. Number 5, the roof literally caved in on many of these, many huge caves, many of the tunnels that connect them, and just water just dashes into it.
So you're saying that the Earth's crust just fell right down into the magma.
Right. But oddly enough, some stayed, not into the magma. No, that's even deeper. But just into the next floor down.
Okay.
And literally some stayed. They were just stay and the rest collapsed. Suddenly I was showing the top of all these mountains and land masses that were safe, didn't collapse. And what we think, like Mount Everest or whatever, you go to the base of Mount Everest, right? And then you climb up it. What he showed me was on all the places that stayed up, they were not the base of the mountain or the plaza. Their base was even lower, down into number 5, 4, and 3. They extend way down, and those lower ones are not as affected as we on top.
Uh-huh.
Now, that giant hole up in the Antarctica,
uh-huh.
All that is,
it's raining.
Eons ago, is one of these huge, monstrous caves that we have in our land below. That's the top that caved in, eons ago. And it's not easily seen. It's full of clouds. Basically, because the next layer below is closer to our core of our mother, there's a lot of heat. It's quite a bit warmer there than it is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And the warmth colliding with our cold air, even on a warm day here, is still. And it creates this steam cloud type thing, so you don't see that very easily. But it's just a giant cave that the roof had fallen on in eons ago.
Makes sense.
I tell you the truth, do not believe a word I say. You just check it for yourself. Don't go blabbing off that upset. You check it and then say, this is what I know. This is what I checked on.
Well,
it's right.
Before you go any further, maybe, I don't know whether what I dreamed about last night has anything to do with what you've seen, but last night, there are two prophecies that come to mind. I don't necessarily want to let you know where these words came from, but I'm just gonna lay them out there. There is a prophecy that does exist that says, upon my house it will begin, and from my house it shall go forth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I'm talking about the scourges in the latter days. Mm-hmm. The other thing is this, then early this morning before I woke up, I dreamt of three words. It was kind of like a neon sign, but it was white and the letters were square block letters. And the words were first fruits in. First fruits in.
All right.
For you to think about. You know, the scripture talks about the first fruits. So I was kind of wondering whether, you know, Spirit's telling me that this is the time of where he's beginning to, or creator, I don't want to say he, she, but creator's beginning to work on.
Warn you to run into the rotten mountains. We call it the rotten mountains.
Yeah.
Is that what you're wondering?
No, I'm just wondering, you know, if it had, if this might be the beginning of the time where, beginning to work on his house, because, you know, where that earthquake happened and where the next one's forecast to happen in Borneo, you know, these are some of the most, true, there's a lot of people that practice Islam there, but you know, Borneo.
I will not knock Islam. I would just knock this jazz of you know, murder the infidels if they don't do what we say, you know.
But well, doesn't say it.
Their word Allah is simply their cultural name for God.
Yeah, that's right. But I was going to say that some of the most original indigenous tribal people in the world inhabit that archipelago known as Indonesia. So is he trying to tell if that's his house, if he's beginning? That he really does look on those children as being his house, and are those some of the first fruits that he's taking and he's beginning with them?
I don't know. I cannot answer that question. Only time will tell what's going on. In some cases, that's the only way you can check on what you're shown or told.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit back and watch. And so I cannot comment, but I do know scriptures well enough to know, prior to Armageddon, over in Israel, many of the Israelites will flee into the mountains.
Yep.
Now, do a word study, into, and find out, does it mean just jumping into the mountains and hiding in the crevices, or does it mean into? Literally into caves with tunnels and goes deeper where you're safer. The Reader's Digest last month had a wonderful article about a small Jewish group that during World War II went into a mountain and hid during the whole war. Really fascinating. I didn't know about this. But they found a water source, a constant water source down there. They didn't have an easy time of it, but they survived the whole war around them. And it would behoove anyone to get last month's Reader's Digest and read that. It's really fascinating.
Interesting.
Now, we call these mountains rotten mountains. They're full of caves. Your area, that's why I'm curious, you know, about this mystic area of yours. It's full of small caves and stuff, and these caves do interconnect through tunnels and so forth, and you can get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you'd be amazed where you'll pop out in one of these huge caves that are maybe 100 or more miles across. A cave.
Well, you want to hear a story? A few years ago, there was a couple of experienced speedwalkers that went into a cave about 150 miles southeast of here, and it's known to be a very deep cave. They were down about 6,000 feet. They were way down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they came upon some humanoid creatures down there that were very hairy, that started throwing large boulders at them, trying to drive them away.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
Freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
In truth, our set squads know the tunnels and caves quite well.
Uh-huh.
And they also know stealth and invisibility. And they can pop into a cave that you walk right over that you just don't know about or right in front of. And they travel from place to place many times just through this system below.
Uh-huh. Well, the rest of the story...
That doesn't surprise
uh-huh.
me. Either.
The rest of the story is they... apparently they were trying to drive them away... the speedwalkers are trying to keep them from a certain area because they did manage to continue on, and the Sasquatch left. I guess they figured the speedwalkers would not continue on, but they did continue on, and they said that they came to what looked like a glass tube right inside a cave wall, and they could look through the glass tube and see that tube was, you know, about the right size to perhaps be used for a conveyance. And they said that on the other side of the tube looked like buildings and a civilization.
Sure. Our inner Earth is just an amazing place. Absolutely amazing. And it's not a ball within a ball within a ball within a ball. It is a series of caves and tunnels. And the deeper, you know, we're on number 6, number 5 is the next level. There's a lot of caves, you see. And between going down even deeper into level 4, closer to the core, there's far less caves, not near as big, and tunnels connecting those. And those tunnels go down into the next one until eventually, literally, you can... you're stupid enough, you can walk into number one level is our core. It's pretty hot. But the floor of number one is Lucifer's headquarters. The next floor, number two, is Lucifer's demonic barracks area. Number three, a lot of those that activity in the two below it is crossover. There's good and bad there, because the demonic ones come up through that and on, but the higher you get, the less demonic activity that just emerges. We get bigger and bigger and bigger. As the more we go out, Earth expands higher and higher, wider and wider, rounder and rounder. It's an amazing place to go to. Just absolutely amazing place to go to. And I'm not the only medicine person that has ever gone there. Many medicine people know about what I'm talking about, but unlike the others, they keep their mouths shut. I'm ordered to tell these things. So I get the guff, you know, I really get the guff.
Right.
That's all right. It's time that the people, our Earth surface people, I'm saying, it's time that they start realizing this is, the world, our turtle mother, is far more complicated than they ever had an idea about. Now, on your spelunkers, it would be fine, it would be wonderful if you could trace that story down and find who these people are, or is it just a rumor, you know? Somebody's imagination put it out there. That would be wonderful.
I'll see what I can do.
As far as I'm concerned, it's true. I know, been there, seen that, you know, that type of thing. But the rest haven't. Until then, what I tell and what you say they told, that's just, just somebody saying something.
Well, I know that when the Cherokee first got up here in North America, they said they noticed that there were gardens that were planted and obviously organized, but they were untended in the daytime, so they watched them. And they said that there was people that came out at night, very light-skinned people with large eyes, and they called them the moon people. And they went to war against these people and killed as many of them as they possibly could.
Why, they're entertaining because they're not bad people. And the reason they came out at night is because in the next level below, you don't have the great sunlight we have. And it would blind them to come out in the daytime.
Yeah. That's why the white skin.
Mm-hmm. And the big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the moonish kind of look. You'd be surprised who's down there. What's down there? You'd be surprised what's up above us, too, anyway.
What's
so, all this from Booger County. But, given the time, I would like to share something. I'll share a lot if I can.
All the time you want.
Well, let's get off of what I talked to you about the ceremony coming up. Let's do something a little bit different.
Sure.
You know, in the scriptures, in the good book, it talks about Noah and the ark and all that. And I want the people to check this. Check it, if you can, in prayer or whatnot, just to find out if I'm telling the truth or lying. And just don't accept what I'm saying, darn it, that's stupid. I can tell you anything, and you got maybe enough respect for me that it's true, and I don't want that. I can lie to you like anybody else. So I don't want you to just accept what I say. I want you to learn to pray in the Creator, and you'll be led to the truth if you're serious about it. But nevertheless, Noah and the Great Ark, it existed. It was true. But, amazingly, that scripture only basically is not all, but almost the whole, is about that hemisphere. Only. There were and still exist two rivers of Euphrates, two places of paradise, you know, kind of an Adam and an Eve area. There was only one Adam and Eve, but there were two places like the one that you read about in Scripture. The other one is in North America. And they, too, had an ark. But they called it the Great Canoes, with an S, more than one. One of these Great Canoes had been found about 40 years ago or more.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I've got no reason to lie. It's in Cherokee Land. And it's in Upper Canada. And a man and son were hunting way up in the mountains. Suddenly the young man, quite a young man.
You mean Cree? You mean Cree Land? You mean it's in Cree Land?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Cherokee, I'm sorry.
No, Cree. Anyway, suddenly the man dropped to his knees and began to cry. And his young son, I think he was about 14, ran up to his dad and said, "What's the matter?" And he says, "The stories are true. The stories are true." And he said, "What are you talking about, Dad?" And he said, "Look, the Great Canoe." And he looked, and there was a huge ark-like canoe in the side of this hill. And he saw it. He saw it himself. Now, the old man, the father, has died. This man is now in his high 70s. I talked with him a little bit, and I tell you the truth, this guy is not, he's not very communicative. Well, he doesn't want to talk to anybody, even other Indians of his own clan, about some of this. I was hoping that he could at least take a map and say, "Well, you look around this area here, you know, and if you look good enough, you'll find it." But I'm afraid that that didn't happen. But, yes, it did happen. According to him, it did happen. Anyway, what I'm saying, there's rivers up there in Canada that you and I know by so-called Indian names and white names, you know, Yukon River and blah, blah, blah. But you don't understand what the word means in English. The Great Euphrates. You remember the three rivers of the garden? The name of the three rivers of the garden of Adam and Eve?
No.
Well, it talks about the scripture, and frankly, I don't remember all three of them. But in English, the names that you see on the map, Indian names that we know all of, like the Yukon River, in English, one of those names means the Euphrates. And the other one, all three of these main rivers have the same identical English translation of the word, the English word. And up there in Canada, there are so few human beings, Indians and swine. Believe me, it's not like America at all, not at all, unless you get over towards the French area on the East Coast. There it's crowded. But, there is a paradise up there. Those Indians have no trouble anywhere up there, except on the lower part of the East Coast. Just walking out and pot shooting down a moose or an occasional deer, bear, elk, and caribou, catching their fish. These people are still living much of the old ways. And it is a paradise yet up there. Except for those damn mosquitoes. I'm sorry.
And the cold.
I miss mosquitoes on Earth. I had thousands shaking my hand at once. But the land is absolutely fascinating. But again, two hemispheres. You're only getting the story of one. Now you're hearing stories of the other one. Like, for instance, Babel. Tower of Babel, I think it is. when all mankind was together and they decided to build a giant high-rise to go talk to God. And he saw that and didn't like their headiness. And what happened? Now, at the time, many different colors of people, but they all spoke identical language. The one language. And he confounded them. He confused them with other languages. And what happened is you got 15 people that understood each other and 12,000 that couldn't understand them, and they couldn't understand those 12,000. But out of those 12,000, maybe another 15 that understood each other, you know. So what happened is these people just what, are they crazy? Let's us 15 and run and see and find out who else talks our language. And that's what happened. Through language, they found each other. And to get away from the crazies, they walked throughout the continent, one landmass. Africa, Australia, Russia, North America, South America, at one time was all one landmass. Creeks and rivers that were, could get across was just part of it. But, you know, a giant island in a sense, the rest was all water. Well, once they were settled in to their areas, and the American Indians, they got to where we are at, North America. And Africans got to where the Africans were at. Chinese to where the Chinese are at, etc., etc. Once they were settled there, then the earth rolled. It split asunder. And literally, the continent broke apart and moved apart. And I guarantee you, don't believe me. I don't care. I don't want you to believe me. The continent pulled apart in this great earth-shaking event and settled where we now stand. It did not take millions of years to drift apart.
Wait, do you hear what...
Listen, it took 10 months.
Well, that
and was... then another half month, up to 3 weeks, before it all kind of just settled down in its spot.
Yeah, well, that earthquake that just happened around Christmas time, I can't remember the figure. I think it was close to 100 feet, or 200 feet, I guess it was, that it moved Indonesia. It also created an underground or an underwater mountain that a submarine ran into yesterday. Or they were going full speed ahead underwater. All of a sudden, boom! They run into an unmapped undersea mountain, killed it.
It says unmapped. I do not believe that. I believe it was a mountain that everything fell down around it and made the mountain. Mm. But, and in a sense, unmapped, because our satellites and stuff can reach deep into the earth, let alone the ocean, and map everything. So that mountain, you know, all of a sudden there were a certain depth that generally would have missed that mountain tip. But everything collapsed around it. And part of it might have rose up, including that mountain tip that they probably knew was there. But heck, they were safe. They may be 100 feet above the tip. But they weren't safe. It had rose up or whatnot. And bang, they hit it. And they said an unmapped mountain. Unmapped, but not written. It actually mapped the mountain. They just thought it was a hillock until this event took place. Now, you watch the military... the big nations, Russia and so forth, the U.S., we're going to be darn busy right now, and we're probably in the process of it, of remapping the ocean floor through satellite systems, because things have changed drastically.
They got that iceberg, you know, nobody's connected the dots, but you know, that iceberg that's headed toward McMurdo, it's in Antarctica. They've asked the Russians to go down there and rescue Americans. They're saying that an iceberg is headed for a glacier. Well, you know, tsunamis go 360 degrees. They didn't just head toward the north. They headed toward the south, so it's probably the tsunami that started that huge iceberg headed toward McMurdo.
You know, I couldn't.
If two of them get together, there's going to be fireworks too. that most...
Well, it depends how hard they hit. If they want to kiss, all it will do is shake up things. But will they just kiss? Or is there going to be a headbutt?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a headbutt, it's going to be bad. But if it's a kiss, it's just a sweet little touch. But the only time will tell, and evidently, pretty quick time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, interesting things. Hear me. There are two hemispheres. The scripture is showing you only one of all the things.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of 5 exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Of all the things, the Jewish angel, the white man with wings, we have angels on this side. And they are called totems. They're animals and birds and insects and whatnot, fish even. But they're angels. In a way, we know angels. So, you know, you're only getting one side, one version. By the way, there are 2 Indian Bibles. I'm talking about indigenous, not just the North American Indians, but Indians, not of India, but the South American Indians, Islander Indians, you know, so on and so forth. There are 2 in existence. One is in, I used to remember the name of it, but the largest, sort of like the Smithsonian, but in England. And it's there. And the other one has just been found about 2.5 years ago, maybe a little longer, in New Zealand or Australia. Same dang book. And the English people don't know about this, and they probably hear about it now, but I was going to tell them more time. And it's written on papaya, and it's not written in words that the general populace understands. And it's much smaller than our Bible, much smaller, because at the time of its writing, it was just the basics of the Old Testament, really, but not all the things that happened between the last earth flipping and the last earth flipping before, when that Bible, these two Bibles that are in existence were written. Because that's, Nineveh and Israel and blah, 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 that's all happened since the last earth split. But this was written prior to the last earth split. And the Bible is much, much smaller. And the writing, I could understand just a little bit of it. It's pictorial. And it's very ancient writing. And I can understand it a little bit, which is a heck of a lot more than others understand. But it is in existence, and the caretakers of this are really worried about it deteriorating. And they ask, how do we keep it from deteriorating? And the only way I could think of was short of prayer. It was to take it to someone of sacred documents that know that paper does rot and disappear, and have them preserve this. But in so doing, they would bring it into the notice of the white world. They'd probably never see the dang book again.
Yeah, they control it. Man.
Yeah.
He didn't just tell
them. Anyway, those two books still exist in my own possession here. I have a copy of the first and last book of the Bible. The first book, Genesis, and the last book in the New Testament. On a stick, it was a copy done by a lady who gave it to me of a similar stick. I think she said it was in stone. That had these little figures and all that. And she sat there and copied it down. And the Smithsonian said that this is the medicine man's formula. My gosh, they don't know how to read. It has nothing to do with any medicine. It tells about the beginning of Earth's creation and the end of what's going to happen. And it's those two books alone. It's fascinating, and I can read it. But anyway, so now I would like to share about a sacred staff.
I heard the rumors about those. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, let's run on that line. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I had heard. There are records. There's two Navajo fellows that in the 1930s went down to Mexico. And they traveled all throughout South and Central America back before the tunnels, were the entrances were exploded, and before a lot of the archaeologists got to a lot of these places and overran them. But they were led to a group of Indians in the King Mountains in Central Mexico called the Chicaragans.
I've heard of them.
And the Chicaragans. Their leader spoke several dead languages and had a large library, but they said eventually they were adopted they said they were blindfolded and taken into the forest for 2 weeks, and they were allowed to view records on bark and on skins that had been hidden since the time of Cortez.
I can believe it. You know, the Indians, the indigenous people of the world, not just American, North American, Canada, USA, South America, Indians, but Africans and people in the Russian steppes and Norway and so forth, we all have medicine people all over the world. They were given the sacred knowledge that you hear the Indians talk about, sacred this, sacred that. In many ways, well, certainly sacred, but in many ways, it's secret, what they say. And the reason they were given it in the first place is they were not the ones that ran to technology. they were staying pretty darn pure compared to the rest of the world. And they still stay fairly pure compared to everybody else.
Uh-huh.
So this sacred, or if you, and I do, like to say a lot, is secret knowledge, was given to them to give to the world right now.
That's right.
But they are refusing to do it. There are a few brave souls that are doing so. But generally, the whole Indian people all over the world are keeping their mouths shut.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is because white man, an archaeologist, will go and grab this or do that, or a white man will destroy this or do that, or take claim for it or whatnot, and misuse it and abuse it all.
Well, but, you know,
I can't blame them. Now, here, that's one reason. Hold on, please.
Okay, go ahead.
The other reason is because of the way the general so-called white, which doesn't necessarily mean white alone, but the technology world, the technologist world, have treated the so-called savages so wrongly over the years and years ago, and still do,
yeah,
that they could, if they all go to, you know, go to hell,
yeah,
they could care less, so they're not going to tell. But in so doing, they are disobeying the Creator. They were given that knowledge. It was passed down from generations past to today. They were given that knowledge to give to the earth so all who are Mitakriwash, one relation, we are all one relation, can fight. And they are refusing to do this. Thus, they are killing off the technologists and themselves and their children and their grandchildren just because of their pride, their anger, their hate. And, I'm sorry, but they're screwing up big time. And you'll find a lot of the Indian world here in North America and probably South. A lot of them. They're pissed off, baby. I'm sorry. You want to hold the sacred knowledge and make it so sacred that it's only you, red man, that's going to survive? It ain't going to happen.
Uh-uh. Well,
and it's time that the people rebel against their own people and say, yes, it is time for this knowledge to begin. And there are a very few who are full-blood Indians that are doing so and are ostracized by their own tribal people for doing so. I'm a half-breed. I look white. And I say half-breed, actually a little less than that. But nevertheless, it's my Indian blood that flows out. Can't help my look. But I'm the only one that I know of who is so public out of all of them. And I do know of two who are Shoshone who have started a little thing of their own, which is similar to what the Creator told me to do and what I'm doing. And boy, I tell you, they are despised by most of their own Shoshone people.
Control.
And loved by a few. But look, there's things that I know. I could if it wasn't for the fact they sound so outlandish, I could get killed for what I say, just as little as I've told. Not just today, but over a period of my radio life.
It's scary. It really is.
But it sounds so outlandish. Who's going to believe an old man? And but unfortunately, as time progresses, a lot of what old Red Elk is saying is being seen. And more and more people are coming to realize maybe this old geezer is speaking truth. And eyes are cracking open. And the more that are opened up, the greater danger I am in. And I've already had many, many threats, from murder to beatings to whatnot. Many. And I have had a lot of satanic, sorcery thrown against me.
Uh-huh.
But it still hasn't shut me up. But, and I know so much, I don't share with anybody except maybe two or three, maybe five. And most of them think I'm nuts too, but nevertheless.
Folks, you don't tell me nothing.
Knowledge of me, get me killed in a heck of a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is a little scary because, you know, there's nuts everywhere. But you're right, you know, Humbug Madden made the comment, you know, the major books that came out about the Mayan calendar, the Mayan prophecy, were written by white people that understood, you know, less than 100 glyphs. And, you know, they understand over 1,000. And, you know, the books that were published tend to spread fear. Fear is meant to engender control. And, but on the other hand, there are red people that are playing the same game.
Right.
And for really worse reasons, because they're doing it for racist reasons, because they're still resenting the white people. And this is
and
they
tell you my white side, me,
yeah.
myself personally, I have not, to my knowledge, ever done anything wrong against the Indians, against their tradition. Certainly, I'm not following their traditions. The Inner Hioka follow only purity. Traditions began out of purity.
Right.
And I'm following purity, which is against tradition. But other than that, you know, I've never gone out and shot an Indian. Maybe my great-great-grandfather or great-great-great-grandfather. But hell, I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
You know, so why hold me responsible for something maybe one of my white ancestors did? And then again, I'm part Indian. Maybe some Indian, or, well, the actual story is that the Blackfoot raped one of my ancestors, and that's where that part of my blood came in. But I wasn't responsible as an Indian part of me for what that guy did. You know, I'm responsible for me, for what I do. I have to face the Creator. So, you know, I mean, why hold resentments against people, the whole civilization? Just because of what happened to your great-great-great-grandparents, and yes, today. But I tell you, today there are white people who are looked down upon and shunned and stuff as bad as an Indian is. Look at these so-called whistleblowers that turn in businesses for doing wrong. Good Lord, you think you Indians are the only ones that got problems? No.
Well,
it's time to take these sacred things. Give. You know, I got somebody calling in. I'll just let that go by.
But, well, you know, the white buffaloes have been born and, you know, begun to die, and all these prophecies have been fulfilled, and the purpose of them was to get all of us to heal together. And there's a lot of Indians that do not get it, and the ones that are getting it are the mixed bloods like you and me, and literally hundreds and thousands, possibly millions of others. But there are so many voices out there beckoning to them, and you know, they're confused, and some of them are even downright scared, and some are openly misled. It's a confusing situation. That's the reason why you and I say that people need to get this direct connection with Creator that's so important.
Well, the vast majority of Indians, North American tribal people, claim that they are connected with God. And I tell you true, they have a residue of connection to God. There's no white people don't. But that does not mean the vast majority of them are truly connected to the Creator. They have a closer connection. They have a closer reality of what goes on. The trees can talk, etc., etc. And in my own time, talking with a good-sized amount of full bloods, I call them, I haven't met a full blood yet, not one, that has ever talked with a tree. But by the time I got done teaching them, they came back, wow, this really, you know, my grandmother, great-great-grandmother told, or great-grandmother, or grandmother told me this could be, but this is the first time I experienced it.
Uh-huh.
Even though I claim that it can be done.
Uh-huh.
I've never done it until you taught me, Redo. And I said, now, go out and teach your people. It's time to get back to some reality here. And Well, I don't know if they ever did, or if they're hoarding all of that just to hoard it over the other Indians around them. See, I can talk to trees. You can't. I don't know. They're people are funny, not just Indians. Good people. But anyway, now, to the staff that I started on with. It's been about 6 years, maybe even a little longer, ago, on the Atlantic coast in Canada. A man and a woman were walking in the evening in the dark moonlight along the beach of the Atlantic, and out at sea they saw this light glowing and going upward like a flashlight underwater shining up. And these are Indians that they live at the ocean, and they know phosphorus when they see phosphorus, but this is far more than phosphorus. So it caught their eye, and this glowing just kept slowly coming in on the waves until it got within walking distance. So the Indian man rolled up his pant leg and walked up to see what the heck is this. And there was a stick floating there, giving off this great light. So he picked up the stick to look at it closely and brought it to shore to look at it with the woman. And it scared them because it had carvings. And it was not waterlogged. So it scared them both. So he decided, let's throw it back in the ocean. Well, he grabbed the top of the stick and went to throw it on, but the bottom of the stick would go out first, you know. But before he let go of it, as he started his swing, the bottom pointed toward the ocean, and a great, not a vortex, what is that, a funnel, appeared where it was pointed. And the funnel got bigger and bigger, and it went down into the ocean, and on the base of the tunnel as it went down, you know, like a spinning
whirlpool.
Anyway, there were
a whirlpool,
yeah, that's what it was.
Right,
there were faces in the water sticking out along the edge of that whirlpool, women's faces.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
And that scared them all to pieces. He didn't know what to do with it. But he wasn't about to throw it in, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So what do you do with it? Well, they took it home, and he literally stood it outside one of his outbuildings for 5 full years. He walked around it. He wasn't going to touch that dang thing for love of money. But in a year, the last year, 4 years later, on the fifth year, he started having dreams about this dang stick. And it just would bother the daylights out. The stick was in a sense haunting him. And so he started asking around his people. Nobody knew anything, even their elders and stuff. And word got out and got out and got out until finally somebody said, you know, there's a man that might be able to help you. He's in America. And they gave him my phone number. And he called me. He could speak English. He speaks only some kind of, I don't know, French mix.
Uh-huh.
But he had an interpreter there. And he told me about this. And he says, I would like to tell you what the stick is looking, you know, looks like. I never heard of such a thing in my life. But I said, no, let me tell you, because the Creator started showing me all this stuff about this staff. I said, first off, it's 5 foot exactly. Yes, yes. I said, second off, it's got an ear carved on it, an eye carved on it, triangles carved on it, 7, if I remember correctly, and other little things like stairways and stuff. Yes, yes, yes. See, I'm telling them all about it. I've never even heard of the dang thing. But the Creator knows everything, and I know the inner Hiokas, that's our job, trying to keep right so the Creator can reveal knowledge to us for the help of all. But anyway, one thing led to another, and it turned in. Then the Creator took me into a time travel to show me where it originated from. And it was before the last earthquake. A woman society, holy women, had gone to a very holy medicine man and told them what they needed and asked if he would cut and peel the stick and then give it to them in the proper manner. And he agreed, and he did. And that's all his role was as a man. He cut the stick, went through much prayer, trying to find out what stick, what piece of wood, what tree, the whole bit. And then peeled it and then handed it over to the lady, and his job was done. And hold on. I love my cigarettes. But nevertheless, not a hint, folks. I just a statement. But anyway, the women carved all the carvings on it, and as they were carving it, they put their knowledge into it. Now that's something that any human being can do. Energize a stone, a stick, or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
with what you want that memory to be. And another one, a good and proper mind, can hold that stick or stone or whatever, and read the mail sent to them. And it's like a computer that no white man can get a hold of, and very dang few Indians. But, you know, they filled it with all the knowledge that they wanted that staff to have. And then they hid it in one of the caves in the inner earth for the right time. Well, the right time came, it popped to the surface, unwaterlogged, painted too, by the way. And not a white man's paint either. And eventually found its way to the shore and this man and woman. Well, this man is now the caretaker of the staff. That's all he does, is make sure that staff is safe. And he beds it down with blankets and pillows. It's a woman. But it's a woman's staff. It's truly a stick, but it has all the spirits of all the women. And this staff will be used to help the women of the world. It is not a staff for Indians only. It is for all women. All over, no matter your color or religion or whatnot. And it will be, at the soonest, it will probably be no later than late summer of this year. It could be, that's at the soonest that it will happen. Or next year. I don't think it will be 3 years from now. But there will be a ceremony, and it appears, from what I've been shown, that it will be on the Pacific coast, somewhere around Vancouver, British Columbia. Many women from all over our planet will come to this great event, and many men. Now, each will, almost all, will believe that they are the ones that are to be involved doing this fasting. But only 13 will be chosen, and they are chosen by their staff itself. There's a certain ceremony. First, a man will be chosen before any women. And this man's job, I'm being told not to tell at this time here. But nevertheless, every man will present himself to the staff. And it's as if you were laid on your back and you put your knees to your chest with your feet aimed towards, you know, towards your feet. And kick somebody in the butt if you didn't want them near you, with both feet on the cheeks. And kick them out of the circle that the staff is in. No, you are not the one. And this goes on and on and on until the right one is there. And then that one, that man, is accepted. That man's job is to introduce all the women who feel that they are the ones that will be chosen to do this work. And I don't know how many women, hundreds, I assume. I mean, gobs of women. There were gobs of men. And they will be introduced by the man. They will walk towards us backwards, towards the staff. And, you know, the staff sees the heart, knows the truth, and bang, kicks them in the butt with both feet, in that sense. And literally, they're propelled out of the circle until the 13 are found. Now, there's going to be a lot of kicked off people, men and women. Pride hurts. You know, well, I should be chosen. Well, it knows their heart, knows pride is there. It is only the humblest, the ones that think little of themselves but love God, that will be chosen. And out of these masses of men and women, only 13 will be chosen.
Oh.
Out of the 13, 7 will do the major work. And the others will stand around the circle praying, lending their support for the 7. Then the staff will be pointed towards the ocean. That vortex, that whirlpool, will open up. The 7 women, and I'm sure in much fear interpretation, will walk into the ocean to the edge of that whirlpool, and stairs will appear. And they will walk down below the water level, down below the surface. When the last one goes down those stairs and the head is below the surface, the water closes over their head. Meanwhile, prior to this, a great bonfire started. This bonfire must continue to be fed until those women come out. Whether it's an hour or 5 months, it must be fed. No matter how long they'll be there, but they're not drowned. They walk into a total different dimensional field. And if the fire goes out, they'll never come back up. But people will drift away, and but hopefully many will stay to help feed the fire. And when the time comes, all of a sudden the whirlpool on its own without a staff, to my knowledge, doing the pointing, it could be that the staff stands up and points by itself. The whirlpool will open, and these 7 women will emerge with all the knowledge that the elders before the earth lived wanted them to know, for all the women of our planet. All the women. There is no segregation here. Now, out of those 13, at least one woman is a pure white woman. There might be an African or a black. I don't know. But it isn't all Indians that go in there. So I want the people to, your listeners, to know that this ceremony will be. I don't know when. I know it will be, and it appears it's going to have to be, at the very most, 3 years away. But more than likely, 2 years. Maybe this coming year. And when exactly, I have no idea. But if your heart is right, if you're listening to what I'm saying, and by the way, what I'm telling, I want you, man and woman alike, listeners, to tell this to your circle, your group, your friends, your brothers, your sisters. Doesn't matter, men or women. Tell them what I said. Because the word must go out and tell them to say it to somebody too. It's got to go all over our planet. And those that feel that they are part of this, start saving your pennies and nickels and dimes and getting your passports and whatnot. Because you're going to have to pay your own way. That's it. And you come when the time is. And you know the time, just like in that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. All these people started putting mountains. Didn't know why, but they had to get there. And this is what will happen to the people that are to come. And you'll come at his bidding. Don't come because Retta picked up a telephone and talks to a radio station and says, okay, it's time, come on over. No. I have no idea when the time is. But Dad does. And the time will be right. And if you are halfway right, you will know it's that time. And you will come. And if you just hear this through mouth, rumors, maybe word is filtered down to some poor woman out in the boonies in the jungle. Hardly ever seen a white man. And let alone drove in a car or hopped on a plane. But she will know she's got to go. She's got to go somewhere. That direction. And she will be saving her little whatever that she sells to make a little bit of money so that she can get there. The Creator will make it possible. But in His time, and all the world, man and woman, should hear what I am telling you now. So the ones that are to go there will go there, and the ones that are to be picked out of those that go are picked, and the knowledge is brought forth, and hopefully help all the women who are very important on our Mother Earth. Women have given up their rights. There is no balance. Man has pulled up his long johns and said, look at me, Bull crap. Give it up to the women too. Let's have balance. And you women of the new age, and you women of what do they call it, woman's right movement? You're out of step. That pendulum swings both ways, and you're grabbing onto it and holding it against your side of the wall. Balance is needed. Man and woman together. Brother and sister together. No, I'm the big wig. Man or woman. None of that. He is the big wig. One top side. Papa. So, know that this exists. Know that the staff is there. Know also that when the staff is brought out and shown, women that go to the staff are cured of unbelievable diseases. I've seen it myself. I've been there. And it's just unbelievable. But right now, she's in birth, into birth mode. She doesn't want to be showing off. So don't go wiring right up. Where in the heck is it? I got to get cured of this and that. Nah, go ahead and die. Don't worry about it. I ain't going to tell you. It's not right now. She wants to rest. Like any pregnant woman getting ready to give birth, she doesn't want to be dragged out of the house. She just wants to lay there and be miserable. Well, let her be miserable. Give her a chance. Because there's a woman, Mike Fink. And there's other ways to get healed except to run to some damn magic staff.
Well, I know you shared some of that story in the past, but this is the first we've heard of the staff.
Hmm?
You shared the story about the ceremony at the ocean, but this is the first we've heard of the staff.
Oh, well, if I shared about the ceremony at the ocean, certainly I had to share somewhat of the staff.
No, this is actually the first time you told me about the staff.
Hmm. Oh, you mean I shared with you personally?
Yeah, you told me about the...
About an ocean ceremony?
13 women, yes, you did tell me about...
Yeah, but not on the air, but between you and me.
Yeah, between you and me.
Okay, yeah.
But not about the staff till now.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, that's right.
Quite a staff. I have certain objects right here in my house that are extremely powerful, sacred objects. Extremely. And I have one set of objects, possibly three, that will go, if I am to go to this ceremony. I feel that if I am to go, these things will go too. And things that only two medicine people on Earth have. I have the smallest And I have two other separate objects as well. And, oh boy, the white world at large has no idea, none at large in general, of what the Indian people are hiding and know about. On my website, you can fly. I teach how to do it. And by golly, I got the Bible to back me up. You can talk to a tree. I got the Bible to back me up. And the tree will respond. I got the Bible to back me up. You can become invisible. I have God's word to back me up. And I teach out. And the Indians get mad because I'm telling all this sacred stuff. Shoot, it's in a book that's over 2,000 years old. Go and find out how yourself. You don't have to buy a thing. But nevertheless, anyway.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nrf2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Now,
I noticed a scripture that I had never noticed before. Revelations says that there would come a time where that they would need to kill those who are killing the earth. So, it's interesting, isn't it?
Would you repeat that?
Let me look up the reference itself. I ran across several references. To this particular time, and but I'm not at my computer. I'm in front of the fireplace right now.
You're inside a fireplace?
In front of the fireplace.
Oh, thank God. I heard warmer. You were heavy weight, but I just
a little warmer. A little warmer than in the office. We have a little infrared propane heater. One of those. They're really nice and toasty, and they keep the whole house warm, but if you're within 15 or 20 feet of it, they'll really keep you nice and warm.
Oh, okay.
But let me open
I got a wife that does that, and it's a dang sight. Propane.
Well, I have two dogs in it.
Which is
I have a wife, too.
Yeah.
But I'll have those. There were some interesting scriptures I ran across. Not only scriptures, but some of them, one of them was something that Muhammad said, and I'll have it for you in just a minute. I was listening to a fellow who's visited Montauk recently, William Henry, and he pointed out that in Isaiah 30, verse 25, it said that, "And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Rivers and streams of water upon every high mountain and every high hill. Something to think about. Now, there was in Egypt in the first century, about 1900 years ago, there was a man named Hermes Trismegistus,
And he said, fortunate is the man who knows how to read the signs of the times, for that man shall escape many misfortunes, or at least be prepared to understand the blow.
I will agree with that.
Right. Now St. John, in the book of Revelation, said, and this is Revelation 11 and 18, it says, the time has come for destroying those who destroy the earth. So it can't be said that some people say the entire Bible, especially native people, say, oh, you know, the Bible's all about, you know, men putting its foot on the neck of the earth and controlling the earth. Well, apparently not, because St. John of the Isle of Patmos said something different.
Well, let's put it this way. Mama's a pretty big lady, and she can handle herself quite nicely.
That's right. Brigham Young.
You ain't going to like the results, but tough.
Right. Brigham Young, 1860, said that the sea shall heave itself beyond its bounds, engulfing mighty cities. Muhammad in the Quran said that when the seas rise, every soul will know that it hath made ready for the judgment day. Now we see the seas beginning to rise. And Quetzalcoatl is recorded to have said, and this is all during the same period, you know, about 100 years, about 1900 years ago. Quetzalcoatl said the balance of nature will be lost when the ocean tides shall obey no shore. The balance of nature will be lost when the ocean tides shall obey no shore. And aren't those interesting things that were, most of those were said 1900 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look into the good book, you'll find a lot of amazing things. If, hear me now, and I'm speaking to your listeners, if you read that whole book as if it was a series of letters sent through the mail of heaven to only you, that Daddy wrote you a letter. And by golly, if your papa, if your earth dad wrote you a letter and you haven't heard from him for a while, certainly you would read that letter. Well, this is Big Daddy, the one who made your daddy and you. And that's what it is, a series of letters, so that you can learn to connect with him,
right,
or her, or it, or Cosmos. He knows his name. I call him Ian. I'm comfortable with him. But he's neither male nor female. He is the spirit. A living spirit, and the spirit is called love. L-O-V-E.
So you're saying that if you read that, if you read the book, and not just read it through once and say, oh, well, I read the Bible, but really study, you're saying that book will program your mind, so to speak?
Well, let's put it this way. If you are being honest with Papa, I want to know more about this book. I want to know if man's best with it, and you bet he has. But I want to know what you said, not what the preacher tells me. This is what you meant. Dad, I want to know what you meant. And you spend time contemplating on a line or a verse or even a word. I get up at 3 to 20 after 3 in the morning, and I do this for hours. And then I crawl back into bed for about 2 hours. And this is every day of my life, if I can do it. There, you know, since I've been quite a long time ago. And contemplate on what you're reading. And if you don't understand it, it's okay. If you don't agree with it, it's okay. Tell Dad, be honest. He knows your heart. He doesn't want to hear a lie out of your lips. Tell him, I don't understand this, or I don't think this happened. Tell him so, and ask him to show you if it's true or false, and then continue reading. Just drop what you don't believe. Continue reading in the stuff that you do comprehend and understand. In time, if you are serious, he will explain what you did not understand or believe, if you are serious. But this is not pick up the Bible once every 7 or 8 weeks and read a little thing here. And it's not a story of speed reading. It's a story of reading a letter from a dad you love very much, or should in this case, and want to know him better. between you and him alone. Drop this pretense of listening to what the preacher tells you. He meant this. He meant that. Who in the is somebody who is given the ability to read, to write, to think that they're bigger than God? Who can tell you, I'm greater than God. This is what he meant. No way, Jose. No way. So get into that book. If you're an atheist, you believe in God because all are born with that knowledge God exists. Born with it. And over time, you picked up other habits. But you still believe in a God. First off, you believe in the one God, though you deny it. Second off, you have the God of no God. And you run around and tell everybody, I got no God. Want to join my church? That's all you're doing. You're preaching a God of no God. So you still got a God. I don't give a dang what you think. But if you want to know if there is truly a living creator that can talk, hear me, audibly speak, not just a still, quiet voice, but an audible booming voice, then get serious about it. Pick up the book. Go dust one off. If you're of the Muslim or whatever they call it, faith, you know, it's against the rules and regulations to read that book. Well, break your rules and regulations. All it does, once you break through and realize what is going on in that book, all it does is solidify the good in the religion you are in through your culture. And you learn that you don't have to kill the infidels. They are your brothers. They are your sisters. You know, that Quran's a pretty dang good book until it gets to stuff like that. And the one here, this is going to price the money. You know, kill them and be a martyr. And what is it, get 7 virgins, is it? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, I've
heard. Pleasure in eternity of hell. There's 7 women yelling at you, lying for you. Boy, what kind of heaven is that? Bunch of idiots. I get to pop 7 cherries.
Yeah, 70.
But you got to live for eternity.
That's 70.
I don't care. 70 nights or 7 nights.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. Eternity's a lot longer than 70 nights.
Yeah.
That's 70 women gnawing at you all the time.
Yeah, it just doesn't...
That sounds more like hell to me than...
It doesn't pass the sniff test, does it?
No.
That whole idea.
These idiots are going to accept that. Wow. All for the pleasure of 7 or 70?
Well,
nights of so-called pleasure? And what pleasure do the women get out of it?
See, there's a movie on TV right now called The Hamburg Cell that people ought to watch. The H-A-M-B-U-R-G. The Hamburg Cell, if you can watch, that's a good movie. So it talks about the lives of these men that how they got sucked into that whole scheme. Yeah, they came from just normal, you know, some of their parents were very successful people. They were most of them college students, and it's really sad the way they got sucked into that whole deal.
Well, the Quran is a beautiful book if you get out all that dang junk that was added after the Quran by man. It's been messed with too, folks. The man who started that movement in the first place, he was doing everything that the Christ did, 600 years later. But he did not die for your transgression. No, but he taught you that you can live as the Christ lived. And he proved it. And you can. So why don't you just pick up the book and find out that there's great similarities in the Quran and the good book? I mean, people are just so darn, I don't know, blind, I guess. But and the Indians, you know, they got their way. They don't want nothing to do with the Bible. Why? Because of the way white man is throwing it down their throat. Truth, we had the right life before white man showed his face on the shore. That they know of, the white man knew. And, you know, the Sundance was it literally is the story of Christ's death and resurrection. But today, they don't remember it. They have an S-O-N. I mean, S-U-N. And the white people think S-U-N. No, no, originated as S-O-N. That tree in the center of the circle was all creation, the tree was, and still is, by the way, the cross. Being tied to it was being nailed to the cross. The whole story is identical. Pequa, Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
Those that believe in Thunderbird. A story of a man who was so dead, he was consumed by fire. That's dead, dead. Christ was dead, dead. And yet he rose from the dead in Pequa, rose from the ashes. He rose from death. It's the same darn story that's in the scripture, only done in an Indian way. And that is throughout all the tribal people of South and North America in their own cultural way. They are telling the same identical story. But because white man is shut there, this is the only right way, and you're a bunch of infidels, and we're going to kill you, because, you know, hell, the white man have been no better than Muslims. You infidels, we'll kill you. I'm sorry. You know, we are brothers and sisters in a crowded little house. We can scream, fight, kick, and scrape each other to death, or we can learn to share the same space in peace. Love is the answer. True love. Not pick this one to love. Pick that one to love. Love even your enemies. Doesn't mean you got to live with them. But you pray for them. You love them. You care for them.
Right.
It's like a mom or dad loves you when you do something wrong. They don't like it. But that doesn't stop them from loving you. And dad's trying to stop the world. So he sends it to Sasami. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He loves you so much that he took a group of people to warn you. That's love.
Wake up call.
Yeah.
A lot of people are waking up.
Aye.
And he'll continue, you know, 9/11 was a wake up call. It woke up a few people, but then they fell asleep again. So what he's going to do is he'll continue to pull these events until they're closer and closer until he gets to pay attention.
That's right. Until it's too late, they're almost full. But, what does an old half breed medicine for guy know?
Yeah.
After all, I look white and everybody pretty much distrusts me in the Indian world because I'm of the wrong color, and frankly, most of those Indians have got a white line in them now, too. A white man in their logs. And the ones that are brave enough to admit it will admit it. And
the white guy in the woodpile, huh?
Yeah, the white man in the woodpile.
Hey, have you heard about the stories of this is a second surge of tsunami terror is hitting southern Thailand, but this time it's a wave of foreign ghosts terrifying locals in what health experts describe as an outpouring of delayed mass trauma. Tales of ghost sightings in the 6 worst hit southern provinces have become endemic, with many locals saying they're too terrified to venture near the beach or into the ocean. Spooked volunteer body searchers on the resorts area of Phi Island and Khao Lak are reported to have looked for tourists heard laughing and singing on the beach, only to find darkness and empty sand. Taxi drivers at Patong swear they have picked up a foreign man and his Thai girlfriend going to the airport with all their baggage, only to then look in the rearview mirror and find an empty seat. Guards at a beachfront plaza in Patong told AFP, which is the media agency, one of their men had to quit after hearing a foreign woman cry, "Help me," all night long, and similar stories abound of a foreign ghost walking along the shoreline at night calling for her child. The majority of Thais are deeply superstitious, believing ghosts reside in most large trees and keeping a spirit house in every home where daily offerings of food and drink are given to calm nearby paranormal entities. Mental health experts warn tsunami survivors have picked up on this cultural factor as a way of expressing mass trauma after living through the deadly waves and witnessing horrific scenes in the aftermath. and blah, blah, blah. It's a mass hallucination.
Well, there will be a lot of people say those are demons.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if they are demons. If it's true, it should make you think. It should make you, it's a reminder of what actually happened. If those are demons, it's a reminder of what actually took place. You better get your ass together with that. You know, you can be walking down the street with your hands in the hands of your loved one, and suddenly that part of the earth caves in.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Everybody, Marie's going to stay. You keep it here because up next, she's going to set the record straight about a long-standing rumor. Don't miss
Uh-oh.
It. We're back with the very blonde Marie Osmond.
Hello.
And during the commercial, we were talking, and Marie was letting me know. I did not realize that she is one of the co-founders of the Children's Miracle Network, which... It's been about 30 years since it's been in existence and raised billions of dollars for all the proceeds.
Well, this year we'll reach $5 billion for children. And the best part, it's really fun, is that 100% of it has gone to the children.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, it's really cool, very unique, nothing like it. It's the number one charity out there for kids of its kind.
And she was saying that she was lent her name to a lot of things, but tell us about your project with the Wise Food Company.
Oh, I'm so excited, you guys. You know, I get asked to endorse a lot of things, and my dad always said two things you protect, your beliefs, your values, and your good name.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lend it out to everything. You know, make sure that you're doing things that you really, really believe in. That is a crazy ring. Shut up.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks,
anyway,
Marie.
Sorry, I'm blonde. No. So anyway, I come from this family where we used food storage. I know that sounds crazy, but with everything that's been going on, look at Sandy, just here alone.
Yes.
What was it, like $78 billion of damage?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fires that are going on and the tornadoes and all of that. To not be prepared, we have car insurance, we have health insurance. Why do we not have food? I have done this my whole life. This company has only been in existence now for 4 years, but of all the companies, this is the best.
What
the
is
meals,
it? What do they do?
It's called Wise. Mm-hmm. The meals are about $1 a serving. It's the best food you've ever tasted. It's not your grandma's food. It's not beans and rice and gross stuff.
How do you make it?
Literally, it stores for 25 years. Put it under your bed, and you open up a package, put water, and you eat it. Put it in your car, you know, if you get on a tornado or whatever.
Yeah, when you're hard-pressed and you want something to eat.
I put two meals in the bottom of my children's backpacks that they take to school in case something happens, so I know they always have something to eat. I'm a mother. I'm a child advocate. And I could, seriously, guys, I could lend my name to a bazillion things. But I believe in this, and I know that this company is the best. I swear to you.
Well, so are you.
No,
I've enjoyed our conversation.
You're the best.
I've really enjoyed meeting you, Marie.
Well, you're so darling.
Osmond.
Yeah.
Marie Osmond, everybody.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Do you remember me asking you when I first met you if the date December 26th meant anything to you?
No, I don't recall.
I always ask anybody who is in touch with spirit, and I have for the last 10 years, have asked everybody if December 26th meant anything to them. And you know, as I was saying, the year before my first wife passed away, the Christmas before she passed away in 1995. So in 1994, she and I were awake early in the morning of December 26th, 2:00 in the morning, Utah time. It would have been 1:00 in the morning your time, and we both smelled. Well, I was just sitting reading something on the couch. We were living in a 35-foot fifth-wheel trailer in Gunnison, Utah, and I smelled traditional pipe tobacco burning in the house. Now, nobody had ever smoked in this house, and it didn't smell like it, you know, when we had lived in that trailer for almost 2 years at that time. All of a sudden, I smelled this, and then you got to understand, it was winter there, and